76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 62 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Friday, November the 7th, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris, live at Innisfree Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard in Tuscaloosa. Kick off your game day weekend early here at Innisfree on the Gary Harris Show. Fridays at the Free. They open at 11 a.m. They have their game day menu. No lucky lunch beating three. The home games, they do the game day menu, but they'll start serving lunch at 11 a.m. But if you want to swing by a little bit early and hang out with me, you can. I think a number of you know the drill. Just come to the side door over by the stage where I'm set up and come on in and hang out a little early if you'd like to do that. And we'll start serving the food, as I said, at 11 a.m. Back in the studio, we've got Chase Brumfield and Reach Karch. Taking your phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. We got a jam-packed show for you today. I'll run it down in just a second. First, though, let me tell you that this hour, the Gary Harris Show is being brought to you, as always, by Alabama Credit Union. Member-owned and not-for-profit, it really is just a better way of banking. I encourage you to find out more by going to alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership. Then join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. All right, here's the lineup for today at 9:15. Alabama women's basketball head coach Christy Curry is going to join me to talk about the Crimson Tide's 2-0 start. They open this week with home wins against Stetson and McNeese State. And we'll look ahead to the rest of the season with the coach, Christy Curry. Then at 10 o'clock, Will Miller from Bama Central, the AlabamaSI.com site. Going to talk some ball with me at 10 o'clock. And then at 10:30, the Auburn Report with Brett Pritchard from the Auburn Blitz. Of course, a lot to talk about with Auburn. Moving on from Hugh Freeze, and DJ Durkin is the interim coach, and they get ready to play Vanderbilt in Nashville on Saturday night. Of course, Alabama gets ready to play LSU on Saturday night here in Tuscaloosa. We're going to break that game down in depth, of course. Also this morning at 10:30, it's our Bama football trivia contest presented by T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall, giving away that full-size Greg Gamble print, The Shutout, that is beautiful. You can see it on my social media pages at Gary Harris underscore WVUA on Twitter, also Gary Harris WVUA on Facebook, and my personal page, Gary L. Harris. I've got the picture of the print that we're going to be giving away. So you can see it. It is gorgeous. We're going to give that away at 10:30, our Bama football trivia contest presented by T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall. Also, my SEC point spread predictions. Forgot to give them last week, but Chase was able to get them out on Twitter. I went 3-3 last week. I'm 45-37 for the season, which I'm pretty proud about that. 8 games over .500 against the spread, picking SEC games only. I think most people would take that, but I'll have my SEC point spread predictions in the final segment. So we got a jam-packed show on tap for you today, and going to be a lot of fun. And as I said, if you want to swing by Innisfree Irish Pub, you can do so, and we'll work you in. Right now, let's get to a phone call in this segment with Corey from over in Trustful. Of course, high school football playoffs underway, got underway last night. Many more games tonight. Hey, Corey, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
Doing well.
I'm excited about a high school playoffs tonight. This is where the road begins to Birmingham, where teams will compete for state championship. And I'm excited to see what happens in 7A with my team playing Opelika and Hoover and Central Phoenix City and Baker and Mary G. Montgomery, which I bet you didn't know this. With Mary G. Montgomery traveling to Baker, that's a 6.5-hour drive. That's from really the top of the state to near the bottom of the state. And of course, if that's the case, I would think that that Mary G. Montgomery would have traveled yesterday to get there. But that's a 6.5-hour drive for a playoff game. But excited for high school playoffs. Of course, you had games last night, but Believe it or not, I actually think 7A is wide open. I know most people would pick Thompson, but I've really not been impressed with this Thompson team. I mean, yes, they're good, but they've not been the dominant team that they've been in years past. Now, as soon as I say that, they couldn't just go on and win the whole thing.
Right.
But I really think it's wide open if you think about it.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's wide open. We'll start finding out tonight. But I got to correct you on one thing now, Corey. You said Baker's playing Mary J. Montgomery?
Yes.
Now, Mary J. Montgomery's in Sims. That's down on that's down near the Gulf Coast.
Near the Gulf Coast.
Oh.
Okay, yeah. So that there, yeah, it's a very short drive. Yeah, just want to make sure we don't want people thinking they're driving 6.5 hours. No, they're not far from each other at all.
I'm sorry, Baker's playing Florence.
Okay, Baker playing Florence. Okay, then yeah, Florence is and Baker. Now that's a haul. Okay, just making sure because I want to make sure we're clear on that.
I'm sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Yeah, that makes more sense. That's where you got the drive in mind. So yeah, but you know what though, it's part of it. And again, I don't know. You're right. They might have traveled yesterday. If not, you know, you get these kids are resilient, but they might have traveled down the day before a game for a long trip like that. Some of these high schools do that now. So, but it's going to be fun tonight. I can tell you that. And actually, we got a little bit of a dose of it last night. We had Northside here in Tuscaloosa County with a big blowout win over. Their opponent last night, so it's off and running, dude, and I'm looking forward to it tonight. Hey, Corey, good to hear from you. Give me a prediction on Alabama LSU real quick. I got to hit this break so I can come out with Christy Curry, but tell me who you got in Alabama and LSU and what's the score.
I got Alabama winning 38-17, I think.
That's my score. That's the same score I've got. You saw that on Tyler Insider TV. Did you steal my score?
Actually, you know what? I'll go 35-17.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope we're right. I hope Alabama winds up winning that thing by close to 3 touchdowns. It'd be nice, wouldn't it, after all these close games?
I think if we can just put the hammer down and not just sweat it out, I'll be happy.
All right. Thank you, Corey. Always good to hear from you. We're going to come back with Coach Christy Curry next here on the Gary Harris Show. Fridays at the Free, live at Innisfree Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard. They open the doors at 11 a.m. And if you want to come hang out a little bit early, though, you know, come around to the side door and come hang out with me by the stage. We'll be back with Coach Christy Curry after this.
Here's what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Friday morning. 40 major airports across the country are impacted by air traffic controller staffing shortages today due to the federal government shutdown. It will have an indirect impact on Birmingham Shuttlesworth International. But so far this morning, pretty good. One departure cancellation, one delay. And only the 8:51 flight to Dallas was canceled this morning. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather coverage. It's free all throughout the day. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and 3 special.
Diesel Generators. True South Generators. Online at TrueSouthGenerators.com. That's TrueSouthGenerators.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
It's 62 degrees in Tuscaloosa. Occasionally cloudy today. The chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight. The high today 75, the low tonight 59. Mild again tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds with only isolated showers around. The high at 76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Getting you ready for the weekend with that great weekend music. Wet Willie's weekend welcomes us back, and it's going to be a good weekend for Coach Christy Curry of the Alabama Crimson Tide women's basketball team because her team opened the season this week with 2 victories. Got to turn around and play again on Monday night. Coach Curry is with us to talk some Bama women's hoops. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Let's talk about before we talk about the start of the season, the two games that you've already played, just, you know, kind of turning the roster over a little bit. You lost some great players from last year, really strong team, and got some young ladies back, but brought in some new players as well. Obviously, Ace Austin headlines your recruiting class, but just talk about in coaching what that's like when you've had some leaders and great players like you had last year that leave the program. You're looking for new leadership. You're bringing in some new players, kind of integrating the roster and kind of moving on from what was a really good team last year.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, a real compliment to those players that believed in the development. You know, a lot of times you don't see third, fourth, fifth year players in your program. And, you know, Gianna, Leah, Este, you know, brought that, and that's a lot of stability, right? And a lot of understanding the system and culture. But that's a compliment to those guys for staying and believing. We were able to add some, you know, a couple of new transfers to that group too, with Zay Green and Christabella Zuma, all five for five playing overseas. You know, SA and Ali are home right now training actually on campus. And then the other three, Lithuania, Montenegro, and Spain, and they're all doing really well. I think it's just, you know, that's part of it. That's the joy of coaching. You know, it's kind of like your own children. One day you look up and, you know, they go from an eighth grader, they're graduating, they're gone. So to me, it's I've always enjoyed watching that group's progress, but then the joy of being able to coach another group. And the culture that's been established doesn't graduate. And so that's a lot of fun for us to take seven new faces and blend it with eight returnees and go to work with this team to help it reach its potential.
And that's what you're doing. You start out with a win on Tuesday night over or Monday night over Stetson, and was not easy. Four-quarter game, but your team made the plays down the stretch to win that one 82-73. Then last night against McNeese, you're down at the half, and then a dominant second half. Just kind of assess these first two games for your new team.
Yeah, you know, I thought both of them were great for us. I think it's two teams that have a chance, one to win the Atlantic Sun and one to win the Southland. You know, our game has really changed with the portal. There's so much more parity. You know, the roster at McNeese was the entire roster that won 26 games a year ago at Southeastern Louisiana and had some big wins. So it's a different day and time where you can't just show up and, you know, you front check the jersey and go, oh, well, this will be okay. And so I think it helps prepare us for what's ahead, learn how to defend our home court. I think the thing is we've got to get healthy. We've got to be able to get some practice rotations back to before the Florida State scrimmage, we were all healthy. And, you know, that's a big part of it, getting your rotations down, being able to be in a situation where you understand what those are and what each role is. So it was good to have Ace and Eris out there last night. And I think we're continuing to get a little bit more healthy than we were, and I think that will really help our rotations as we move forward.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Of course, Jessica Timmons led you in scoring in the first game, 21 points. Then last night, Essence Cody, and I know this is, you know, this kind of game may not be the norm, but I bet you hope it is. 23-11 for her last night. She was really a dominant force for you.
Yeah, you know, we're going to have to do it by committee. I think you'll see night in and night out. Carly Weathers has been so steady, and then Jess and Diana and Essence. You know, we're going to have to be a team that, you know, I think you're going to see different people step up at different times. And to me, that's a lot of fun because that helps prepare when they all step up the same night. You know, we've got to get that fourth player in double figures. Last night we had two. I just think this team is constantly evolving, getting better, staying together, you know, and we're excited about the potential that we can be by the time conference play rolls around in January.
I want to ask you about Ace because, again, you had this with Sarah Ashley, even though coming out of Spain Park, she went to Georgia initially when she transferred in. She was a high school legend in this state and certainly lived up to all of the hype in Ace Austin with her championship pedigree. But she is a true freshman. As you said, you got to get her 100% healthy. But what is, you know, signing a player like that from your state mean for the program, and what is the potential for her as a player?
Yeah, I mean, it speaks volumes. I mean, when she's on the floor, you can tell that our offense flows much smoother. You know, she had four assists and one turnover last night. The numbers might not always be flashy, but it certainly does impact, you know, our flow in the play and the things that we want to do. And she's got a chance to be really special. And, you know, everyone should come out and want to watch this kid because, you know, she's a little bit you know, deceiving, but she's extremely talented with running a team. And I think she has great command, great poise for her age. And I'm just excited about what she brings. She believes so much in the program and where the program is at. And to choose to stay home was a huge statement. And we have to keep our best at home in state, you know, and she's made a big commitment to stay and to help us continue to build this and continue to get to NCAA tournaments.
You play in the best league in the country, but you got 13 games to get you ready for conference play. And I know when you're adding them all up at the end, these non-conference games are important. I mean, it's not just about what you do in the SEC, and it's also an opportunity for you to get your team ready for conference play. But how big is this non-conference portion of the schedule?
It's huge. You know, it really does now, Gary, with the system and the NCAA tournament selection with the net, how much you win by. Those little things like that. You know, a 20-point win is much better than a 10-point win last night. So net and things that go into that, and it's really changed on selection. So preseason, you know, we have a chance to go play a really good Harvard team and the winner of Minnesota, South Florida. We've got a Clemson team coming in here in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we've got two teams coming up with the SWAC with, you know, Alcorn and Alabama A&M who both have a chance to win that league. So I think the most important thing is for us to just focus on Alabama and how we can be better, and each and every game plan is different right now. System and style of play, Stetson was different than McNeese. McNeese wants to shrink possessions. I felt like the first team to 60 last night would win, you know, and they run a lot of sets, and they do a great job defensively. So it's just so much we can see right now. They're going to put us in a position for January, being prepared for transition, different styles of play, different type of defenses. And I like the variety in our schedule. I know it's home dominant, home heavy, but that was because of two cancellations late that were on the road, and we had to immediately change there in late August. So there's a lot of pieces with our schedule I think can help us grow and get better.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Obviously, part of building the program when you got here was to get, you know, better players and get to winning some games, but it's also to, you know, to build the support and the fan base. And with all these home games through November and December, this is an opportunity, I know, for there's football and men's basketball. There's a lot going on, holidays, but to come out and really be a factor in getting this team to the NCAA tournament. I know you've talked about this before. It's a lot more fun for these players when, you know, when there are people in the stands and they're making noise and they're loud and enthusiastic about the games.
Absolutely, and you have an ace Austin that chooses to stay home. So, you know, we need to get behind her and get behind this team and need everybody to come out and support this program. These kids deserve it.
Way, way down the road, but I did mention, you know, the SEC is the best league, and obviously, you know, you look at the preseason and you say, well, there's a good chance the national champion's going to come from this conference. But looking ahead to the league, is it as good as it's been? Is it better? I mean, what do you see from the SEC this coming season?
I just think the depth of the league is what makes it the best league in the country. I think you've got, what, you know, six teams ranked in, you know, the top 12 here lately, you know, and it's so deep and so talented. And I think everything that matters with it is just the strength, the athleticism, the size, and it just continues to get better and better, and the support across the league. You know, and how everything has been impacted from an NIL standpoint. I think it's going to continue to just get bigger and better because of the transfer portal. I think you see a lot of teams in this league that are so much older, Gary, you know, and there's not a lot of freshman, sophomore, you know, and you're going to see a lot of transfer. And I think that's interesting about our league right now, how many transfers are impacting. So it's going to continue to be one that's more of an older, mature league as far as seasoned players.
Let's close on this. Since you mentioned portal and NIL, you really can't have a conversation about college athletics without talking about it. It has changed everything, and I think some for the better and maybe some not so much. But the games are great. The competition's exciting. It's and as you said, with the portal, it's a chance if you know, to rebuild your roster in a hurry. You know, if a coach takes over a program in the past, maybe he or she had to, you know, had to go through the recruiting and take 2 or 3 years. Now you can go into the portal and you can have a chance to build your roster. You've been around a long time. Is it, even we live with what we live with. I mean, things evolve and change, but how do you feel as a coach, as maybe compared to the way it was 5-10 years ago? Is it, I mean, you have to adjust, but do you like this system of basketball where players can just up and leave, immediately be eligible? You're paying players, all of that. You know, as a coach, how do you feel about the current game, and is it something that you think can sustain?
Yeah, I think the sustainability question is intriguing, because I think we'll be able to see, you know, 2, 3, 4 years down the road, if that is going to be possible. But I will tell you this, you know, I think as a coach, one of the greatest things I've always enjoyed throughout my career, whether it was the kind of roster I had, what our strengths and weaknesses were, always to adapt, you know, and to adjust and try and figure out the new landscape. So the approach that we're taking, you know, I'm more of a GM to some degree than I am anything right now, just trying to manage, you know, staff, program, situation, raise, you know, fund, all the things that go into it now are a little different. I'm loving the challenge of it. And I think you have to adapt and grow and be willing to, you know, I think our players deserve every bit of opportunity to earn, you know, but I do think it's really important that everything can't become transactional. You know, our program is built on relationships. And we can add that transactional piece to it, but we're going to work hard to continue to sustain the culture of grit, love, and gratitude, and work really hard and understand it's still a 50-year plan. Like, you know, what they're doing 10 years from now is really going to matter. And I think we continue to, you know, blend our old philosophy and continue to adapt and adjust. And I want to evolve, and that's what we're trying to do every day.
All right, folks, Alabama's off to a 2-0 start at home again Monday night against Alcorn State. That's a 6 o'clock tip at Coleman Coliseum. Get out and watch this team. I think you alluded to this, Coach, as we close, that you're kind of feeling it out. It's going to be a team that somebody different might step up every night. You're building some depth, but it feels like just through two games that this is going to be a fun team to watch. They give a lot of effort both on the offensive and defensive end, and it feels like this is a team that the fans can really wrap their arms around.
Absolutely. Go buy tickets, season tickets. Come out, support us. We really appreciate it. Gary, I can't thank you enough for having me on, and I am so glad that you are feeling better.
Well, thank you, Coach.
I'm so glad
you're
doing well, my man. Okay.
Thank you so much. Yeah, absolutely. Coach Christy Curry, Alabama women's basketball tied 2-0 Monday night, 6 o'clock at home against Alcorn State out of the SWAC. And this team's got a chance to be really good again, as Alabama's program is in good shape under Christy Curry. All right, it's 9:30 here on the Gary Harris Show. I'm going to talk to you about my friends at Game Day Men's Health. If you are struggling as a man with a lot of different things, get in the game. Get to Game Day Men's Health, located at 1013 Street East in Tuscaloosa. They offer convenient, expert-backed care for all men looking to feel and perform their best. They specialize in testosterone health, erectile dysfunction, weight loss therapy. They've got all the things that can help you find the way to get to feeling better. And when they do your blood work, they'll have it back in 15 minutes so they can start focusing on your customized treatment plan. Fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, and weight gain aren't just everyday annoyances. They can be signs your body needs support. At Game Day Tuscaloosa, they get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals. You can expect boosted energy levels, improved motivation and mood, deeper, more restful sleep, reduced belly fat, stronger workouts, and faster muscle recovery. Get by and see them today. Get back in the game. Game Day Men's Health, 1013 Street East in Tuscaloosa. All right, we're going to come back with another segment here from Industry Irish Pub. Some folks are starting to come in and hang out with me. You're welcome to come by as well. Phone lines are open. We don't have another guest until 10 o'clock, 205-342-9904. I'd love to hear your score predictions for Alabama-LSU. Whatever is on your mind, you can share it with me. We're wide open for phone calls up until the top of the hour. The Gary Harris Show continues. Fridays at the Free, Industry Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard in Tuscaloosa. We'll be right back.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
And the clock's going to run out, and Bama's going to win it, 29-22. And for the love, let's get out of here.
Join us
next Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on the LSU Tigers at Bryant-Denny Stadium on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after-hour.
Hammage Rack and Reel, Cypress Supply, Banks and Company Hardware, Stephen Fights Allstate, B&B Transmission, Primetime Men's Clinic, South's Finest Roofing, and Cajun Bistro.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and
for you, contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127, NorthRiverTimberCO@gmail.com, North River Timber Company.
Did you miss any episode on Tide 100.9? Don't worry. All of our shows can be found on Spotify and Apple Music and on demand on the Tide 100.9 app.
Loverboy rocking us this morning here. It's Friday's at the Free. And before we get to phone calls, I do want to mention that we've talked a lot about golf. We talk a lot about golf on this program. Casey Smith on Golf joins us every Monday. We talked about Nick Dunlap, former Alabama golfer, struggles as of late. He has really had a hard time. His driver has been his bugaboo. I mean, he has been the poorest driver on the PGA Tour statistically now for a number of months. But playing yesterday in Mexico, let me preface my comments by saying these are some of the widest fairways on the tour, so you have to take that into account, but it's still you gotta hit them. And we can just say this, put Nick Dunlap on a course where he's hitting the fairways and he's going to be a problem. The Worldwide Technology Championship, he shot 11 under 61 yesterday. And that is his career low round, setting him up for an excellent opportunity to win this tournament. Now, it's just one round. He's got to follow it up. But, boy, it was good to see for a guy that's missed a lot of cuts. And as I said, his percentage hitting the fairways has been under 50%. So to hit every fairway, hit 14 fairways yesterday. Again, these are wide fairways. But the result was at 11 under 61. So excited for Nick Dunlap and maybe the chance to pull off a victory this weekend at the Worldwide Technology Championship in Los Cabos, Mexico. All right, let's jump out on the phone lines and visit with a guy I hadn't heard from Franny in a while, but good to have him back with us. Hey, Franny, good morning.
How are you, sir? I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you very much.
It was nice to see you after the Tennessee game.
Yes, sir. It's good to see you. Good to visit with you. Yeah.
Yeah. How many teams do you think will come from the SEC for the playoffs? I think the final number will be four.
Yeah, four is my best bet. And, you know, right now, just based on the chalk, I mean, if it holds up, it'd be Texas A&M, Alabama, Georgia, and Ole Miss. Now, do I think there's a possibility to get more? I do, because I think right now the ACC could be looking at one team only, you know. And the Big Ten, despite being so powerful at the top with Ohio State and Indiana, you know, they might be just looking at two teams. So that could open up a possibility. But still, right now, I think the best bet is four.
Yeah.
But as you alluded to, just because it looks that way right now doesn't mean it won't change. And for all these teams, with where we're at in college football, what it looks like with these first college football playoff rankings could look a lot different for the final college football playoff rankings. There's a lot that can change between, you know, during this month of November as we get into December, man. The drill's not done for any of these teams yet.
I tell you, the wild card in all of this is Texas, because they play Georgia and Texas A&M. If they won both of those, they would obviously be in. But even if they split, they may take them.
Well, yeah, maybe. I think they've got to win out. But can they do that? Sure they can. I mean, they're talented enough. I mean, listen, they got past a couple of teams in Kentucky and Mississippi State where they flat out should have been beaten. I mean, they had no business winning either one of those games in overtime, but they did. And sometimes, you know what? That's what you have to do. You have to survive. And you're right. If they go into Athens and win, and then they're able to beat Texas A&M and they win out, they're going to be in a playoff. And, you know, so
it's wild.
And could still wind up in Atlanta, too, for the SEC championship game. So they're not out by any means.
I tell you what, the SEC is open. Not that they have any biases one way or the other, but if A&M and Alabama end up undefeated in conference at the end of the year, they'll be very grateful because those tiebreakers are going to be something else.
You know, yeah, you're talking about the depth of the SEC, too. And you know, I mean, it looks more likely for Texas probably than it does for but, you know, if Missouri and Vanderbilt were to win out, you know, they wouldn't be out of it. And we'll see. And even for a team like Alabama, I don't think this is going to happen. But let's say you tripped up against one of these next two opponents in LSU and Oklahoma and lost one and then somehow went down to Jordan-Hare and Auburn, you know, stunned you and won the Iron Bowl. And you suddenly were 9-3 with two conference losses. You probably wouldn't be in Atlanta and you might be on the bubble as far as making it into the playoffs. So there's work to be done. It's not over until it's over. And we saw that last year with some teams. I mean, we still thought Alabama, you know, despite having lost to Vanderbilt and Tennessee, was in great shape. And they go to Oklahoma and get it handed to them. And so you gotta bring it every week, man.
Yeah, and I'd like to thank my family and friends for all their support. I appreciate it. Anybody that's listening. So I hope you have a good holiday if I don't see you before Thanksgiving. Give me your score.
Give me your score prediction for Alabama and LSU.
Well, let's see. 31-17 Alabama.
All right, sounds good to me. Thank you, Franny.
All right,
bye-bye. All right, 9:41 here on the Gary Harris Show. Phone lines are open on the Gary Harris Show hotline, 205-342-9904. As I said, still to come, we're going to visit with Will Miller from Bama Central at 10 o'clock, the Auburn Report with Brett Pritchard at 10:30, plus the Bama Football Trivia Contest, giving away that full-size color print from Greg Gamble, the shutout, which is a beautiful print. You can see it on my social media pages. It wraps up the 2011 National Championship team as they destroyed LSU in the 2012 BCS Championship game in New Orleans at the Superdome, 21-0. It's got Nick Saban holding up the Crystal football. He's surrounded by A.J. McCarron, Dre Kirkpatrick, Courtney Upshaw. It looks like Denzel Duvall, Trent Richardson, number of players that are on that photo, well, not a photo, print with Nick Saban. It is a beautiful print, ready to be framed. So we'll give that away. We'll have our trivia contest at 10:30. Then in the final segment, I'll have my Bama, my SEC point spread predictions. Again, went 3-3 last week and for the season against the spread in the SEC. I'm 45-37. Not bad at all. All right. Let's get back to, Bama and LSU specifically, because a lot of people have asked me all week when I see them, because I picked at 38-17 on Tider Insider Tuesday night. And a lot of people were like, man, wow, you know, because I've been picking, you know, closer games this year for the most part. Although when they played Monroe, I said if I'd been a gambling man, I'd have made a lot of money because I would have laid that 36.5. But I just think this one sets up well for Alabama. They got through that 5-game stretch. They barely won at South Carolina. Maybe should have lost, but they didn't. And now you get to buy. And I know LSU had a buy as well, but I don't buy into this. I don't know. I hear people say, well, you know what, you're going to get some energy, you're going to get some juice, you know, firing a coach. But more times than not, if you fire your coach during the season, it doesn't finish well for you. I mean, did Florida get a little juice against Georgia? Yeah, I guess. They played a good game, but they got beat. And I thought Gonzalez's, you know, coaching down the stretch really cost them with some decisions that he made. I mean, I don't buy into this, well, the interim coach is going to be better than the previous head coach. You know, they paid Brian Kelly $10 million a year. Brian Kelly played for a national championship at Notre Dame. He went to another playoff or two. And you know, Frank Wilson has got head coaching experience, but not at this level. He's from New Orleans. People love him down there, but I don't think they're going to get better because they fired Brian Kelly. I just don't. I you know, and the same thing I'll say for Auburn and Florida and Arkansas. You know, everybody thought, a lot of people said, well, you know, Arkansas now is going to go on a roll with Bobby Petrino. They hadn't won a game. They hadn't won a game since he took over as the interim head coach. You know, Florida hasn't won a game since Gonzalez took over as the interim head coach. We'll see what LSU does. We'll see what Auburn does. But I think for Alabama, after what happened last year, with what Ty Simpson's been able to do this year, this bye sets them up to play really, really well. Now, I was on another show out of Mobile this morning, Press Box Radio, and I was asked the keys for Alabama's victory, offensively and defensively. Defensively, I think they got to affect Nussmeier. I do think that if you let him get comfortable and get in a rhythm, he still has the potential to be a very accurate quarterback. They've got excellent wide receivers. If you don't affect the quarterback, he can hurt you. I'm not too concerned with LSU's running game. It has not been very good, but I think you got to get after Garrett Nussmeier, not let him get in a rhythm. So whatever that means, if you can rush them with just your guys up front, or if you have to blitz, but then you got to cover in the back end too. If you do bring pressure and don't get there, he can burn you. So, but I think that's the key defensively. Offensively, I do think the run game is the key. And listen, this, you're not going to reinvent yourself 8 weeks into the season. You're not suddenly going to become this dominant running team. That's not what Alabama is. They're 14th in the league. I think they're 114th nationally. This is their lowest yards per game rushing since 2006, before Nick Saban arrived. So, but I do think if they could get up to, say, 135, 45, 50 yards rushing tomorrow night, they're going to be hard to handle. Because then, boy, LSU's got to really, you know, commit to putting some people in the box to slow down the run game. And then Ty Simpson, man, he's dynamic when he has an opportunity to play action, yeah, and has some time to throw the football. So I'd like to see more of Daniel Hill. He's been dynamic in the pass receiving game for a big back, but I'd love to see him get some more opportunities to tote that ball, get those shoulders square, run behind his pads, and get downhill. I think he can hurt some people in the run game. So I think the key offensively, again, and when I say run the football, I'm not saying they're going to run for 200 yards. In fact, I don't think that's going to happen. Alabama may not run for 200 yards in a game the rest of the season. Well, maybe against Eastern Illinois, but if you could run enough, and I want to be fair, I think they have run enough to keep defenses honest. But if you could get to, say, 135, 140, 150 yards rushing against LSU, and then Ty just do his usual thing. Let's say you rush for 135 yards and Ty throws for, you know, 265, then there you are. You're at 400 yards of total offense. And if you get 400 yards of total offense at home with a lot of that being through the run, I think Alabama's going to win this game handily. I just don't see LSU suddenly catching fire. They're not personnel-wise, they're a good team. They got good players. Again, preseason, a lot of people expected them to be in the playoff, expected Nussmeier to be a Heisman candidate. It has not happened. But they're capable of coming in here. If you don't have the kind of start to the season that you want anymore in college football, it's hard to turn it around. It just is, because the fan base starts whining and crying, and the boosters start saying, "Want to make?" And that's what happened to LSU. They won at Clemson, and we thought, "Boy, this is going to be dandy for them." But we not know Clemson's not very good, and then they lost those SEC games. And it's just, I don't think you just catch lightning in the bottle because you fire your coach. But we'll see on Saturday night. I think Alabama's primed to have a big win. All right, 9:47. By the way, it's sprinkling a little bit outside, and cloudy and overcast this morning, but hopefully tonight all the high school football will be good. A reminder, catch me at 10:30 tonight with Football Friday on WVOA 23. 1 hour of high school football highlights and analysis, plus college football previews and more at 10:30 tonight on WVOA 23. All right, 9:48, we're going to take a timeout. I want to remind you that the YMCA is ready for you when you're ready for the Y. I love the YMCA. 2313 Street downtown. I've been a member for over 20 years. I'd love for you to join me. It's a community of people that make it fun to work out. The staff, the other members, they got a Silver Sneakers program for seniors, fitness classes, spin classes, They can help you with your child daycare, and their personal training is something I'm a big advocate for. If you're struggling to reach your goals, the personal trainers at the YMCA can help you make it happen. Jeff Knox, the CEO, is outstanding. That's the YMCA of Tuscaloosa. The Y is ready for you when you're ready for the Y. All right, we're going to come back with one final segment before we wrap up hour number one. Hour number two, we're going to get it started with Will Miller from Bama Central. Also, the Auburn Report with Brent Pritchard. SEC point spread predictions and our Bama football trivia contest. We'll be right back after this live at Industry Irish Pub.
Now at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $396 or more. Offer valid 11/5 through 12/3. U.S. only. See store online for details.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside.
Decades, it's not just food. It's nostalgia served fresh. Decades Pub and Grub, where every bite is a blast from the past, downtown at Timberson Square.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Occasionally cloudy today, the chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight. The high today 75, the low tonight 59. Mild again tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds with only isolated showers around. The high at 76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 63 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Goal line in, touchdown, Alabama.
On your home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9.
And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
And take us back out. In the meantime, though, we're going to get to a phone call. Larry the Music Man is checking in with us from over there in Central Georgia. What's up, Larry?
Gary, happy Friday, brother. Rock and roll will live forever on the Gary Harris Show. I promise you that.
No doubt,
I promise.
My friend.
Man.
No doubt.
Listen, I'm on Steel Sheriff Tom's Thunder, and if he calls in, he can correct me. But this morning on Barry and Wimp show, Coach Sanderson, he brought up, you know, we've heard this thing about the running game, the whole thing over and over. We ain't got a running game. Well, it's a process with the board. We watched him, like a musician or a band leader, bring his ensemble together what he wants to project. It just took time. Well, Tom brought up a point. Sheriff Tom, and I hope I don't get a warrant for this, but he said the last year when DeBoer was at Washington, their running game was 118 yards. Well, if you look at the stats, that's Alabama's average. So is this a trend, my friend? Think about it. So
yeah,
maybe we don't need 200 yards a game or.
Well, like I said, I do agree with you. But and like I said earlier, too, and maybe you're right, it's just about running it enough to keep the defense honest, because you're right. He had great success at Washington without a dominant running game. I'd still like the running game to be a little more a part of the offense than it's been. I'd like to see some more explosive plays in the run game. I'd like to see Daniel Hill get his opportunities. I really, really would. But you're right, Larry. I mean, they don't have to. And I said, when I said I want them to run the ball better on Saturday night, I didn't say run for 200 yards. That's what I said. I said, in fact, they probably won't. But I'd like to see them get up there to 135, 140 yards, maybe 150 yards to go along with Ty Simpson. And I think if that's the case, it's going to be tough to handle Alabama. I really do.
I agree. We all want the running game. That's part of the tradition with Alabama. But, you know, we hit them in the mouth and they fold. They're going to come out ready, wired up, hot, and we could get that big running game going. Daniel Hill, I think he hadn't even peaked yet, man. I think he's just beginning to roll. He could really be something in the playoffs, you know, if we get to that point. Don't you think?
Yeah, he's scratched the surface. And, you know, they've got some talent back there at the running back position, and I think Jam Miller is so solid. He got slowed by the shoulder injury, but he's a guy, and you know, I like Kevin Riley, but I think moving Daniel Hill up to that two back spot with that size and that physicality gives him a nice change of pace. And I'd love to see Hill get some opportunities, as I said, to just beat on a defense, to run downhill, to get behind his pads. And you know, you've got Riley too, who's a quick change of pace back. But I think that this running game can be more effective than it's been. I don't think, like you said, that they're going to suddenly start running for 200, 225 yards a game. But I think they can be better than they've been. And if you run the ball effectively with Ty Simpson, as I said, this offense is just, I mean, it's been good, but it could be great.
Oh, yeah. I agree, brother. 38-13 is my score.
Well, you're right in the same neighborhood as me. I got it 38-7.
Well, I know. I'm not copying you, but I don't know why 38.
I hope we're right. I mean, I hope we look up in the fourth quarter and Alabama's got this one put to bed. I hope we're not looking up. You know, it's a 4 or 5 point game in the fourth quarter. Hope the Tide can take care of business. So, hey, appreciate it, Larry, man. Have a great weekend.
You too, brother.
All right, that's Larry the Music Man. That's going to wrap it up for hour number one of the Gary Harris Show. Friday's at the Free, live at Innisfree Irish Pub, and folks are starting to slide on in and get ready. They open the doors officially at 11 a.m. Game day menu is on the docket. No lucky lunch meet and three for the home games because of the amount of people that come through. They do the game day menu, but they'll start serving it up. I think Pat just slid in too. So they'll start. We got a lot of the regulars already here waiting on 11 o'clock lunch. All you boys may have to get ready now. I don't know if I can cover everybody. We get too many people in here. we're gonna have some fun in the second hour. All right, that's going to wrap it up. We'll be back with hour number two. Will Miller from Bama Central will join us. Also, Brett Pritchard with the Auburn Blitz. And we're going to visit with Nick Steed, one of the operators here at Innisfree Irish Pub, in a little bit as well. So 1 hour in the books, 1 hour to go. Like I said, they open at 11 o'clock. But if you want to slide by a little bit early and hang out, in fact, Robbie Glenn was out there helping them get all the chairs down, which I appreciate too. Because if it gets too loud and the chair's banging, it's hard for me to talk. All right, hour number one is in the books. Hour number two, Fridays at the Free, live at Innisfree Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard. We'll continue.
Now for your free timeshare exit kit, 800-838-8822. That's 800-838-8822. 800-838-8822.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles,
the Denver Broncos are now winners of their last seven. It wasn't pretty Thursday night, but they topped the Raiders in an AFC West showdown 10-7 in the Mile High City. For the Broncos, their seven-game win streak is the longest in a decade. Last night's game, pretty odd. First time since 1976 that both teams had more accepted penalties than first downs. 11 penalties for both teams, just 10 first downs for each team. Broncos are 8-2. Raiders are 2-7. Geno Smith was sacked 6 times last night, and the Raiders quarterback suffered a quad injury in the game, according to head coach Pete Carroll. Former NFL receiver Antonio Brown has been extradited from Dubai to the United States on attempted murder charges stemming from an alleged incident in May, according to the Miami Herald. These second-degree murder charges carry a 15-year maximum sentence. Clippers, they fell in Phoenix to the Suns, 115-102. Jalen Green, 29 points.
The Gary Harris Show. UCM host Tider Insider TV. Crimson Tide kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, here we go. Hour number two. Fridays at the Free, live at Innisfree Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard. The Gary Harris Show. And we're going to visit with one of the owner-operators. Hang on just a second. Robert, you out of here? All right, good to see you, man. And we got a good group that's come by this morning to visit with us. And you're welcome to come by as well. Slide in that side door at here at Innisfree, right by the stage where I'm set up. We're going to visit with Nick Steed, one of the owner-operators here, in just a little bit. But right now, we're going to jump out on the Gary Harris Show hotline and welcome in my friend Will Miller from Bama Central, the SI.com Alabama site, to talk a little ball. Good morning, Will. How's it going?
Great, Gary. How about you?
Good to have you. I was hoping you could get by in person and hang out with us this morning, but I understand mom comes first. So I'm glad you could work me in and still visit with your mom. So that's pretty good. Hey, I'm not going to talk much about women's basketball because I had Christy Curry on already earlier, but I do want to ask you about the men's team. Just your, hey, one game impression. Clearly, the roster was limited the other night against North Dakota with, you know, four guys out. Hopefully two or three of those guys will be back for St. John's tomorrow at the Garden. But what were your initial impressions of Alabama basketball for this 2025-2026 season?
Yeah, you said it, Gary. So much of this early season, even though Nate owes the scheduling, he kind of likes to throw them into the lion's den and see how they come out, is about gelling together and putting lineups together, seeing who plays and who doesn't. I've said it a lot over the past week. But and with that, I didn't think the team looked perfect, but certainly had a good impression as a whole. I think it's a solid group, especially, you know, down a couple of key guys, because it's not like, you know, Holloway and Reitzel are insignificant. I think Bristow's going to have a role on this team as well this year. I mean, adjusted well. I thought did what they needed to do. Don't know if that effort will cut it these next two games where you have, you know, depending on what area of New York you ask, the two best teams in the country coming up back-to-back next, and a big one tomorrow against St. John's. So, I mean, there, and part of that, like you mentioned, is getting reinforcements. And, I mean, the outside shooting game in particular, obviously, is going to be helped so much when Holloway and Rice will come back. And that's obviously one of the biggest areas for these Nate Oates Alabama teams. So, like I said, even though it wasn't perfect, I felt good about it, and they'll be fine.
Now, the challenge tomorrow is enormous. I mean, you're going to the Garden to play Rick Pitino in St. John's, a ranked number five preseason. I think he's one of the best coaches all time that's ever done it. And his ability to come up with game plans for particular opponents to kind of take away what they do, I think defensively, Alabama's going to have to work. I know Alabama, and St. John's is going to play fairly fast too, but they're going to face a well-coached team, a talented team at the Garden. I'll be honest with you, Will. In this next four-game stretch, if Alabama can go 2-2, I'd be pleased with that. And I think that I hope I'm wrong, but I think, you know, St. John's is going to win this game tomorrow. What's your take on the one coming up tomorrow morning in New York City?
Yes, I think St. John's wins, and it's no indictment on Alabama whatsoever. I mean, Rick Pitino has been around the block. I mean, is there anything that he hasn't done in the coaching game? And I thought that his team this past year could have gone even farther than they did in March Madness. I mean, you kind of alluded to the clash of styles. I mean, with Alabama playing at the pace that they do and the tempo that they do, I mean, and implementing that and being able to play with it for 40 minutes is going to be their best chance to win this game. If they have everybody available, obviously the parity of the matchup increases, but that almost goes without saying. I mean, I saw the line was what, like 6.5 in favor of St. John's. And to me, the way that Nate Oates is scheduled, I mean, it's worked out these last couple of years because he'll put games like this on the schedule. They went to Purdue last year about this time as well and didn't win that game either. But come March and you've been battle tested all throughout the year because SEC plays a gauntlet. It pays off when you're able to make a deep run as Alabama's done these last 2 years. I know I kind of got off topic. I think at this moment in time, St. John's is probably the better basketball team. They got some of that experience. You know, Alabama's have a lot of new faces, that, like I said, are going to have to get used to playing together. And that's going to matter in an early season game like this, especially away from home and a place that is going to have, you know, I mean, there's a lot of intensity that comes with playing a basketball game at Madison Square Garden. And I mean, it's a big moment early in the regular season. I mean, I think it's going to be competitive, but I do think St. John's is going to win.
Yeah, I agree with you, but at the same time, like you said, it's not an indictment on Alabama. It's just that they're playing a really good team early in the season at their place. But you look at this schedule, and this is part of big boy basketball. I mean, there would have been a time when, you know, you'd looked at this schedule for Alabama and you said, oh my gosh, there's no way they can navigate that. But this is what Nate Oates does. He wants a team that's primed for March and hopefully even April. And to do that, and if you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna be a big dog, you got to get off the porch and run with the other big dogs, and that's what Alabama does. So there are going to be some losses in this non-conference portion of the schedule. That's just the way it is. But at the end of the year, you won't get in the NCAA tournament and be shocked by anything that you see. And I think there was a time around here where sometimes when Alabama got in the NCAA tournament, there was a feeling, well, haven't faced these type of teams. That's not the case under Nate Oates. You see the best long before March.
Yeah, and it didn't used to be that Alabama got in the tournament every year. People are disappointed Alabama didn't go to the Final Four this past spring. I'm trying to get it into people's heads that there used to be a point in time where 18 wins was an every year thing, and you were hosting a game in the NIT in front of 2,000 people. Things are drastically different, and part of that is, you know, the SEC is a lot better. I mean, 10 years ago, SEC basketball was a shell of what it is right now, the absolute gauntlet that it is right now, but you have to prepare for that. I mean, some coaches will shy away from it. They want to get those wins earlier in the regular season and maybe some more bye games and say, you know, and I know in today's era of, you know, the metrics like net and KenPom and XYZ, maybe that's not as helpful as it would have been in the past, but some coaches will want to do that. They want to say, oh, I want my team to have a better record, not Nate Oates, because these are the teams that you're going to play in those later rounds, if you're able to make it to the Sweet 16, to the Elite Eight, to be able to have an opportunity to go to the Final Four like Alabama did 2 years ago, that's who you're going to be playing. That's who you're going to have to beat. And so he wants to start, hit the ground running. And I think it's a good philosophy that has proven to work.
All right, let's switch our attention to football here for a moment. And Alabama has set the table. They've put themselves in position for something special. But I have... Boy, I talked about this till I'm hoarse all week. You have to finish the drill. I mean, it's not, they're not done yet. And this four-game stretch, obviously Eastern Illinois not really included, but at home against LSU and Oklahoma, the Iron Bowl at Jordan-Hare, you know, it's not beyond the realm of possibility that if you don't play your best, you could drop a couple of those games. Then everything changes. So I think it's a four-game season. I think you have to put the past in the past and get ready to close this thing strong, and it begins tomorrow night against LSU.
100%. I mean, so much of these stretch runs are about who can stay disciplined, who can keep executing, who can stick to the plan the best. Some of that is what you see. And when teams drop games late in the year, you know, whether it be fatigue, injuries, which – obviously, injuries happen to everybody. We're Braves fans. We could talk all about that the last couple of years, and we have on this program before. But, I mean, LSU, for example, you know, I mean, their offense has had a terrible year. They've had a big shakeup on the coaching staff. It would be very easy to say, oh, this team is coming in, they're reeling, and they haven't had anywhere near the level of success that they would like to, but I would expect that they're also going to be potentially re-energized. This is a huge game. They've had a bye week as well. I mean, you remember the game 4 years ago where they came in here and almost won. I mean, if you're not careful with them, I don't know if that's as realistic this year as it might have been 4 years ago, but LSU's going to come in fired up wanting to play you, and they're a good team. The talent is not lacking on their roster. It's not necessarily talent that has lost them games. It's a good football team. Oklahoma, you know, John Mateer's back to 100% health, 100% full strength. Could pose some problems. Auburn at Jordan-Hare, you just never know. Something is going to happen. We can sit here all day and try to devise what, and then if whatever we guess, probably something different will happen. So, like I said, you just have to stay the course. Do what you've been doing. They're saying use what brought you to the dance. That's what Alabama's going to have to do if they want to close out the way that they want going into possibly an SEC championship game appearance and then the college football playoff like they wanted to.
Ty Simpson has been phenomenal. There's no arguing that. The run game, in fairness, they've done enough to keep defenses honest. But at the same time, this four-game stretch, particularly I think about the Oklahoma game, how important is it that And I said even against LSU, if you can run it for 135 yards, this team's not going to reinvent itself. They're not going to start rushing for 200-something yards a game, Will. We both know that. But how important is it that they have enough of a run game to take some pressure off Ty, to allow the play-action game to work? And maybe it's Daniel Hill inserted more behind. He's kind of moved up ahead of Kevin Riley as that second back. Give him a chance to maybe run behind his pads and start pounding on the defense and wearing them out. I think it's important that the run game be effective over this final four-game stretch.
It has to be more effective than it has been. I mean, you establish the run and you open up the entire rest of your offense, in my view. And the games that Alabama has been able to do that, you've seen the results. Like they ran the ball against Vanderbilt, you know, excellent in that game, and Jam Miller's first home game of the season since he came back from that collarbone injury that he had over the summer. You repeat that rushing performance, and I mean, you'll feel good about what you're able to do with the rest of the offensive scheme. Yes, it takes pressure off of Ty Simpson, and the coaches have talked a lot about that. I do think that Ty Simpson has handled those types of things with a lot of poise, and I've said that before. I think that he's done a really good job just battling and dealing with some of those things, some of those pressure cooker situations that are going to be an every week thing when you're playing in the SEC. But all the same, you know, it is nice to have it. It's nice to have your run game going. It's nice to have that aspect of your offense churning along. Different looks for a defense, all sorts of things you could talk about as to why that's a positive. But the fact remains that it hasn't been a pivotal part of this Alabama offense for the most part this season. And I mean, like you said, you're not going to reinvent yourself. I mean, eight games into the year, you are what you are to some extent. I don't know if I would even describe it as pulling a rabbit out of a hat, because they have the backs to do it. They have talented running backs. Something just hasn't clicked yet. And, you know, you could have chalked it up earlier in the year to maybe some of the offensive line shuffling, the offensive line rotation that's been a hot topic of discussion. But, I mean, you do have to have it. You're absolutely right. And I would be shocked if that wasn't some manner of point of emphasis, especially with a bye week preceding this game, as to something they have to course correct on.
Let's wrap it up with the Braves. I like Walt Weiss. I do. I mean, it seems like at the end of the day, even though it took a while, that this was probably where the Braves were headed the whole time. This is the way the Braves do it. I think it's going to be more important for Walt Weiss, you know, what Anthopoulos does, what this team does organizationally to make sure that the roster is the best that it can be. But your take on the Braves staying in-house and promoting Walt Weiss to manager.
Not too surprising with the benefit of hindsight. And I think people are worried that it's going to be another reincarnation of Brian Snitker. But these coaching staff moves that have been made over the last couple of days have shown me that there's inclination to go in a different direction in that regard. I'm pleased with that. I'm curious to see what will round that out. I mean, Walt Weiss is not some guy that they just plucked off the side of the road. You know, he's got big league managerial experience, albeit in Colorado, where, you know, good luck evaluating anything in baseball in Colorado. It's a very strange situation with the elevation there in that ballpark. I wouldn't have been as shocked, a couple of years ago, if you told me this was going to be the direction that the Braves were heading. I mean, it just seemed to me as though this was a move they could have done right when Brian Snitker announced he's going to step down. Everybody was saying, oh, it's going to be the Dodgers bench coach. That's why an announcement hasn't come. The Dodgers are still playing in the World Series. There were other candidates that were floated around to various degrees. I know John Gibbons' name was mentioned a few times. I wouldn't have been super pleased if it was him. I mean, so much of our team is going to be about getting those core players back to playing every single day, just getting them healthy and keeping them healthy, because so much of the team's issues these last couple of years have been just down to that. I mean, a lot of people have criticized, for example, the Mets pitching coach that the Braves brought in, but their staff was so injured this past year, and the Braves staff has been so injured this last year with everybody in the starting rotation. So, I mean, if everybody's healthy, to me, this is a contending ball club regardless. But Walt Weiss has been there. He's been in that clubhouse. He's built these relationships over the last number of years. So, I mean, as time has gone on, I've grown to feel a lot more positive about it.
Great stuff as always, Will. Appreciate it, man. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Absolutely. You can find me on Twitter at RealWBMiller, and you can check out our site at BamaCentral.com.
Thank you, buddy. Talk to you soon. I guess I'll probably see you tomorrow night, in fact. Look forward to that. All right, it is 10:18 here. Fridays at the Free continues. I'm live at Innisfree Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard. Doors officially open at 11, but we've already got several people are hanging out with us here to get ready for the football weekend. And when we come back, we're going to visit with one of the owner-operators. Nick Steed going to tell us, well, not that you need to know all that goes on at Innisfree. I think everybody does. But he's going to remind us of all the great things happening here at Innisfree at 10:30. The Auburn Report with Brett Pritchard, plus our Bama football trivia contest giveaway. A lot still to get done. 1925 University Boulevard. It's rainy outside. Come on in and join us at Innisfree Irish Pub. We'll be right back after this.
West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here at the Tuscaloosa Thread headlines, there is a marginal 1 in 5 risk for severe weather this afternoon and evening. Hail and high winds are the main threat. A growing number of rideshare drivers speak no English, and that has Alabama U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville filing a bill that would require it.
If you're driving on our roads, you have to be able to read our road signs.
If passed, the law would...
The Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Occasionally cloudy today, the chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight. The high today 75, the low tonight 59. Mild again tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds with only isolated showers around. The high at 76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 64 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Want to jump into any of the shows? Call Tide 100.9 right now at 205-342-9904.
Will somebody answer that damn phone?
That's 205-342-9904.
Debbie Deb, Lookout Weekend, and that's always the case at Innisfree Irish Pub. Fridays at the Free. We get the game day weekend started a little bit early. They don't even open the doors officially until 11. We already got about 10, 12 people in here hanging out with us, and we come by the side door at the stage. At 11 o'clock, we're going to stay for lunch. Game day menu today. All the home games have the game day menu. The away games are, of course, any other Friday during the year. The Lucky Lunch Meat and Three and the Lucky Lunch Soup and Salad special as well. Nick Steed, owner-operator, one of the owner-operators of Innisfree, joins me now to discuss all the great things going on here. Nick, what's going on, man?
Oh, not too much, Gary. Just gearing up for a good weekend. Hopefully this rain gets out of here this morning.
Yeah, and even if it doesn't, it'll be nice and sunny in here at Innisfree. Hey, listen, I've been with you guys for several years. You've been, sponsoring my show and love coming out here on Friday mornings and hanging out and it's so much fun, but you're 7 days a week, but football season is a time when everything's ramped up, and you guys do start. As soon as you open these doors at 11 a.m. for Friday, you're going full speed the whole weekend, especially your home weekends.
Yeah, so that's a good problem to have. We're fully staffed up, ready to go. Fridays are good because we get all the alumni, parents coming into town. Their kids want to bring them here, get lunch, get some food, get some drinks on the patio. We just try to get a good atmosphere for kid. If you want to bring your kids in here, to have lunch. Mm-hmm. The weekend kicks off. Bring your parents in here, have a good time. We try to be open to all ages and make it a fun environment for anyone that wants to come by and have lunch or just see one of the staples of Tuscaloosa, fortunately for us.
It really is. And that's something you mentioned, people coming in for the game. I mean, there are a lot of people that come to Tuscaloosa for the games that don't have tickets, don't actually go to the game. And one of the things I've heard people tell me is, man, I like to come to Tuscaloosa and go to Innisfree for the game. So, I mean, watching the game here tomorrow night is going to be epic. I mean, it'll be, listen, I know they're fire codes and all that. You can't let everybody in, but as many people as legally allowed in will be here tomorrow night to watch the game.
Yeah, so that's another good thing. We've kind of found a good way to host people that want to watch the game. It does help that we serve pretty good food.
Absolutely. Great food.
That's always a plus to keep people here. But, you know, we've been here for 27 years, going on 28. It takes a long time to figure out the right way to keep everybody happy. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, every day is a new challenge, but we try to figure that out and keep everyone happy. You're not going to keep everyone happy, but for a good atmosphere, enjoyable, watch the tide roll, and then just keep staying after.
You mentioned the experience, doing it long as Innisfree's been doing it. You got a system, and that is important, that you can handle the big crowds. And you've got a staff that, I mean, they're elite. And, I mean, they know what they're doing. And that's a big part of it. I mean, it's one thing to say, everybody come on out and have some fun. But if you're not equipped and can't handle it, it can turn into a nightmare. But Innisfree can.
Yeah, so we're very fortunate. We are 100%, not 100%, but all of our staff, bar staff, wait staff, door security, about 99% of them are student, you know, they're students, which is commendable because this isn't just a come in, clock mm-hmm. in, clock out kind of job.
No.
You know, for them to work 3 to 4 days a week and maintain their studies and you know, have fun while being a student, you know, I commend them. And we're really fortunate and lucky. A lot of places I go to, they're like, we're short staffed, you know, we're having trouble getting staff. Thankfully, we're not in that, you know, that predicament. But we're very fortunate. We've got a lot of people, good kids working for us, and they enjoy working here. And that's, we try to make an enjoyable work environment. So they come, and you know, if you always, your experience is a lot better if your employee, your server serving you, helps you have a good time because they're having a good time.
Oh, absolutely, and they do an unbelievable job because I know coming in here on Friday mornings early, after you had a big crowd on Thursday night, they stay late, get tables clean, get chairs put up. I come in, the floor's mopped, and you're ready to go for another day. Hey, one thing that since you guys have been with me, in addition to the Fridays at the Free, one thing, you know, we know about how fun it is for games and all, but a lot of people still – because I've had a lot of people come to me and say, man, I'm glad you turned me on to the Lucky Lunch Meat and Three. Now, again, game day menu for today, but during the week, this Lucky Lunch Meat and Three is one of the best meat and threes in town. I'm not just saying that. I eat it all the time, as you know, because of the variety, the number of meats that you offer daily, plus the specials, plus so many vegetables, and the cobbler, which is fantastic, is part. You can count that as a side. This Lucky Lunch Meat and Three is something that people have not tried it. They need to fix that and get on by here.
Yeah, we try to we do a good job of rotating. We have a meat special and a soup. We do a meat special, soup of the day, and a cobbler, you know, each mm-hmm. week that rotates, try to get people that want to come and have, you know, different tastes each week. You know, they eat here every week, you know, something different. But we've also go around, when we go around town for lunch, we try to, you know, you look at other places, what mm-hmm. they're doing, and try to see if that works for you. It's really good. I can't, if I'm here working, if I eat it, I want to take it. You know, for $10.99, I feel like you get a lot of food.
You do, ton.
You can't really find that anymore, especially for lunch.
Yeah.
And you can get in and out in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So people that want to come in, they don't have a long lunch break. Yeah. Come in, good food, in and out, $12 with a drink. You know, you can't really beat that anymore.
And onion rings and fried green tomatoes, best in town. Right, Robbie Glenn just stuck this up here. Of course, you've been the mozzarella cheese sticks and the pretzel bites, but these mozzarella cheese sticks, you saw me coming in the other day. Unfortunately, I got a full order and then tried to eat lunch behind it, so I had to take half of them with me. They're awesome.
That's the first thing I told my partner, Brantley. I said, the first thing we're doing day one is putting mozzarella sticks on the menu. That was a big thing that I've always enjoyed eating at every sports bar, and I feel like it's just a good, everyone likes mozzarella sticks.
Yeah, they're great. All right, Nick, before we close it out, big weekend ahead. Kind of fill everybody in on the hours of operations.
Yeah, so we'll be here. We're actually opening 10:30 tomorrow morning. We'll be here today serving food from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Tomorrow we'll be here at 10:30 a.m. for all these Tide Hoops fans that want to get in here and get a table. We'll be showing the Tide Hoops game against St. John's with the audio. And then we're here tomorrow, 10:30 a.m. till 2 a.m. Hopefully with a victory after that night game against LSU.
Bama hoops in the morning, Bama football at night. You can't beat it. Innisfree Irish Pub. Thanks, Nick.
Yeah, thank you, Gary.
All right, it's 10:30. We're going to take a timeout. We're going to come back with the Auburn Report with Brett Pritchard, and also going to have our Bama football trivia contest giveaway. We'll start that. You know how you do it. Call in. Use the app. social media message me, whatever it takes to get the answer in. I'll have the question, and we'll get that started. Coming up from Innisfree Irish Pub, the Auburn Report and our Bama Football Trivia Contest next here on the Gary Harris Show.
My Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. Rising up.
All right, 10:34. Welcome back to Innisfree Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard. We're going to get to the Auburn Report with Brett Pritchard from the Auburn Blitz here in just a moment. But first, you know the drill. It's time for Bama Football Trivia, presented by T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in University Mall. We're giving away the full-size color print, the shutout, Greg Gamble. It's beautiful. It's ready to be framed, and it represents Alabama's BCS National Championship game victory over LSU at the Superdome in 2012 for the 2011 National Championship, 21-0, after Alabama had lost that epic overtime game 9-6. During the regular season. Here is the question, and it's going to be built around that game. Alabama scored one touchdown in that game. There was only one touchdown in that game, period. Remember, LSU didn't even cross midfield until late in the game. But after five field goals, Alabama had a touchdown. Who scored the only touchdown in that BCS National Championship victory for Alabama over LSU? Who scored the touchdown? Now, obviously, it was for the Crimson Tide, since LSU didn't score. Call now, 205-342-9904, 205-342-9904. You know how we do it. You call in or send me a app message or social media message, and you get a number in the order in which you qualify. If you're the seventh qualifier, you're seven. Then at the end of the show, we roll the electronic roulette wheel. It ends on a number. If that number correlates to your name, you're the winner. So once again, the question is, who scored the only touchdown in the 2012 BCS National Championship game that gave Alabama the 2011 National Championship? Alabama 21, LSU nothing. All right, let's bring in my pal Brett Pritchard from the Auburn Blitz. And we did it again last week, Brett. You picked Auburn, and that was the kiss of death, not only for the Tigers, but for Hugh Freeze, I guess, right?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm not ever picking Auburn again. You know, I just thought, but of course, as bad as Kentucky was and coming off a win, finally maybe some fortunes could be turned, but fortunes were turned. Unfortunately, they were in the wrong direction, and somehow Auburn found a way to upstage its poor offensive performances with the worst one of the year against one of the worst defenses of the year. So, yeah, if you're looking for something to make sense, none of that makes any sense. So I'm just going to go the opposite direction. I'm picking Vanderbilt, Mercer, and Alabama all the way out.
All right. You know, we talked last week. Alabama, Auburn had come off the win over Arkansas. There was a little bit of hope, and I think you and I both felt like Auburn would beat Kentucky. Not only did they not win, as you said, just a miserable game offensively. I mean, you know, probably won't score if Auburn doesn't get the interception. The defense, again, played great and set Auburn up with a first and 10 at the 20-something yard line before the half to get the field goal. I mean, we beat this horse to death, so this will be the last time we have to beat this dead horse because Hugh Freeze is no longer the coach. But what in the heck happened? I mean, even if you didn't think he was going to win a national championship, when Hugh Freeze was hired, I think most people felt, whether they were Auburn fan or, you know, fans of other schools, felt like that Hugh Freeze would do a good job at Auburn. And he did upgrade the roster. We've talked about that a lot. But results just never came. And the quarterback play and the quarterback development, the quarterback decisions on who to bring in, it just – you could have never foresaw that, could you? Brett?
No, you couldn't, Gary. And I think that's exactly where the buck stopped, was with quarterback. And, you know, we all know in – college football, you can take a really good quarterback and put him on a average team and do a lot of great things, but you can take a lot of great players and put a not so good quarterback in place, and you get the product you're getting. And unfortunately, you kind of hook your wagon to the guy you pick, and he picked Peyton Thorne, and he picked Jackson Arnold, and you know, it ended up costing him his job. You know, and I said this to people with Gus Malzahn coming off the 15 and 16 season. You know, Gus Malzahn was on the hot seat, and he had one more chance, and he went out and got Jarrett Stidham out of the portal from Baylor. And Jarrett Stidham came in and took Auburn to an SEC title game and really played well that year and saved Gus Malzahn's job. I mean, to be honest, and really vaulted him to get the extension and the buyout that he ended up getting from Auburn. So that's how important a really good quarterback can be to a team that's struggling. And unfortunately for Hugh Freeze, he wasn't able to pick the right guy. And whether he picked the right guy or not, when they got here, they didn't develop into what he thought they could be. So that's really it in a nutshell. Plus, I'll be honest, I think a lot of defenses have caught up to Hugh Freeze's offense, and I don't know that he's changed a lot since he left Ole Miss. I mean, I've talked to several people and been on several shows, and a lot of the same analysts like us, Gary, say the same thing, that, I mean, you can look at a lot of the tendencies of this Auburn offense all the way back to what he did at Ole Miss when he had Bo Wallace. So, you know, it's a little bit naive to think that you can continue to do the same things without tweaking it a little bit or doing some different stuff without other teams catching up to you, and they apparently and obviously did. And all that combined ended up costing Hugh Freeze his job.
Now you move forward, and the immediacy is three games. Vanderbilt on the road, Mercer and Alabama at home. DJ Durkin has his, I guess, has his shot, because I think there are a lot of Auburn fans, most Auburn fans, happy with the job he's done. Now there's going to be a segment of fans who want to bring a coach in, a head coach. His tenure at Maryland obviously wasn't great and didn't end well, but he's proven to be a really good defensive coordinator at various stops. You know, the reality of it is, if he were to win, you know, the Vanderbilt game or knock off Alabama or, you know, win them all three, then obviously he's going to be a serious candidate. Outside of Durkin, though, having a chance to show himself, you know, what he can do as a head coach, who are the guys that you're watching as candidates possibly for Auburn?
Well, you know, Gary, it's kind of all over the map. I'll start with DJ Durkin. I think we talked about him all week and the whirlwind he's been put in, given this, you know, since Sunday, now given the interim tag, and then got to prepare a team to go on the road and play a good Vanderbilt team. You know, I think the message and the mindset doesn't change. You got to figure out a way to put a team on the field that can compete, have a chance to win. So I know that's his first priority. You're right. I think this could be a three-game audition for him, but I said this multiple times this week on our show. If that's what you're basing hiring DJ Durkin on, I think it's unfair. I think, you know, it's not his team. He does coach the defense, and his side of the ball has done well, but to be handed, you know, a team with three games left with the offensive mess, and you're going to base his resume on that, it's a little unfair. But now, on the flip side, if he does come out and this team is rejuvenated, it shows life, it shows improvement, then definitely you make a case for yourself whether you win the games or not. I think Auburn needs to not go down that rabbit hole of if somehow Auburn beats Alabama with DJ Durkin, that's the, oh, well, you just got to absolutely sign him up and be the head coach. I mean, Alabama obviously sets the bar high for everybody in the country and how they played and where their program is right now. But, you know, I think Hugh Freeze, a lot of his lore came from the two wins he had over Nick Saban, let's be honest. And that's what made him so remarkable. I'm not saying he's not a good coach and he was successful at Liberty and all that stuff too. But you gotta do a lot deeper dig and find a guy you feel like is the right fit for your program, has the right philosophy, and maybe a different mindset, Gary, of the ones that Auburn has had in the last couple of times with Harsin, even Malzahn with his more mild demeanor. I know he showed some excitement time to time, but for the most part, he was kind of a reserved guy, and then Hugh Freeze being reserved. You know, I posted a video of DJ Durkin on our Instagram this week, just of him coaching Tuesday. Nothing special. And that video blew up, had all types of likes and shares. And, you know, and I think and I made it very clear to people on our show that that's not DJ Durkin out there trying to trying to be somebody he's not. Everybody's out there watching now. He's the interim coach. He's trying to put on a show. And that's DJ Durkin every day at practice. And I think that's what was so appealing to Auburn fans and why they liked the video so much is they're like, man, this is such a you know, relief to see that somebody's out there with passion and getting after it. And, you know, and just because you run around and, you know, are passionate and holler and stuff doesn't make you a good head coach. Obviously, Will Muschamp hollers and runs around and screams as much as anybody, and he hasn't been able to be successful as a head coach. But what it is saying is that Auburn fans would love to see a guy that gets after it on the sideline, that fights, that shows passion. You know, and I don't know if it's DJ Durkin or if it's a John Summerall or if it's an Eli Drinkwitz or all the different names that are being thrown out there right now. And I think we're, you know, too much in the infant stages to start narrowing it down. I mean, I know Kenny Dillingham is obviously in the mix too, but, you know, I think all of that culminates into, I think Auburn just needs to not worry about beating a certain opponent or whatever and actually dig and go find the guy they feel like fits this program and they feel like it's going to be a long-haul guy for Auburn.
All right, Brett. Brett Pritchard with us for the Auburn Report. I want to ask you, this is bigger than Auburn. This is college football, college athletics, really. But we got four SEC head coaching openings, and you know, we're just into November. Around the country, there's even more. There's probably going to be more in the SEC. The reality is the pressure to win is greater than it's ever been. The amount of money these coaches make, players make, it's just – And here's the deal. Coaches don't have time. Hugh Freeze's daughter went out on TikTok and said they were promised 4 years, and they probably were. Of course, you know, he probably promised an offense that could score some points. But my point is this: this is a roller coaster we're on, up and down. And I look at the situation here with Kalen DeBoer for losing that Florida State game. You know, if they don't win at Georgia, if they don't beat Vanderbilt, you know. It could be happening here at Alabama. It could be happening at a lot of schools because the margin for winning and losing is very fine in this league. Where I'm going with this is that, you know, at some point you keep hiring and firing coaches, you know, and a lot of these schools are going to be right back in the same pickle. You and I have talked about it. I'm not sure there's enough really quality coaches to fill all these openings. You hope you hit and you get the right guy, but you may not. I mean, we're in dangerous territory, I think, in how we're handling college football now with coaches and with the portal and this pressure every year that this has got to be our year. We got to get in the playoff because everybody's not going to make it. Do you see any end to this hiring and firing cycle that we're in now?
Well, yeah, we've had this discussion on our shows too, and I don't until somebody steps up. And I think it starts with the ridiculous contracts that universities sign with these coaches and these buyouts on the back end. You know, you're just paying people tens of millions of dollars to go home and not do anything, which is just asinine. I mean, when we look at everyday life in this country, that is not real life. And it's just, it's a gross negligence, in my opinion, of just slinging money around and people going, well, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. And does that give you a right and an excuse to just sling it around and then go, and again, beg for more? You know, you pay all these buyouts, Gary, and then the donors who have money, the universities just keep coming back and asking for more and more and more. And NIL and, you know, all you're paying all these coaches that you fired, and you got to go get new staff. I mean, you look at LSU, and they estimated that firing would cost LSU upwards of $100 million because once the buyouts are paid and then a new coach is hired and the new staff brought in, that's where that number would be. And it's just getting – ridiculous. And you're right, everybody is feeling the pressure to win right now. And I'll say this for Auburn and Hugh Freeze. I think Auburn and John Cohen and Auburn fans wanted Hugh Freeze to work. And I think he had a great opportunity this year with the schedule and the revamp roster that he was responsible for. Again, if we want to talk about the bad, let's give the good. He did go about and revamp this roster. But things set up this year for him, and I don't think it was a lot to ask for Auburn to be a team that could navigate that schedule and go 8-4 and show improvement off of the first 2 years. But it was opposite of that. If anything, the offense got worse. The defense is elite. But what you were hired to do is bring, you know, a great dynamic offense back to this program. And you You couldn't do it. And so, and then the egg that was laid Saturday was so bad that it forced John Cohen and the administration's hand to just move forward and go in another direction. And I don't think Auburn wanted to be here right now. Other situations are different. Brian Kelly's record, yeah, I know he hasn't been the prototypical LSU coach, but his record's pretty good. Now, he's lost some big games, and I get that. James Franklin at Penn State, I mean, he was in the playoffs last year. I mean, he was really close to being in the national championship game. And then a few games into this season, he's fired. I mean, I don't know what people are expecting. And I think it all depends on, is your program going in the right direction? And, yeah, you're going to lose close games to top-ranked teams, but you also got to win your fair share if you're in positions where you have all the resources and the NIL and the facilities and all that a lot of these universities that you and I talk about each and every week have, Gary. So there's a lot of high expectations, but then there's some unrealistic expectations. And I don't know that there's an end to this cycle. I really don't.
All right, Brett, before we wrap it up, dare I ask you for your prediction for Auburn and Vanderbilt tomorrow night in Nashville?
I refuse. No, I'm gonna give it on our show here in a little bit, but I'll go ahead. You know, realistically, and not trying to be reverse psychology, I mean, it's a lot to ask. Maybe Derek Nix and the offensive staff will find some things that Auburn hasn't shown this year. Maybe they will rely even more on Jeremiah Cobb, who is the fourth leading rusher in the SEC right now, about to eclipse 800 yards. Maybe they lean on that and try to control the football, because I know that's Vanderbilt's MO. They love to just kind of grind you down and knock out third downs and keep the ball away from you and really limit your possessions. Maybe Auburn can do something like that. And I do think Auburn's defense will show up just like it has every week. I don't know why it wouldn't. So the X factor is, can Auburn generate any offense? And if they hold Vanderbilt to 21, 24 points and they find any semblance of offense, maybe they can make it a fun, interesting game in the fourth quarter. But, again, I think it's a tall task for this coaching staff to just miraculously find a team that can score 28, 31 points. So I'm going to say Vanderbilt. I'm going to say Auburn still holds true to 24. I'm going to say they give up 24 to Vanderbilt, but I'm going to say Auburn manages to score a couple of times, and I'm going to say 24-14 Vanderbilt.
Gotcha, my friend. All right, Auburn Blitz, where are you guys at today?
We're actually just in the studio today, so we're heading up to Nashville. We got a high school game tonight, so heading up to Nashville late tonight and then be there for the game, so everybody can get their content.
You have Benjamin Russell Central tonight or somebody else?
We do, yes. I have Benjamin Russell Central tonight. Ooh, yes.
I hope Central can come down there and give them a game.
Well, I think they can. I mean, that's a very talented 7-2 team. That's not your typical, 4-seed coming to play tonight. And I think Benjamin Russell understands that and respects what Central has done. And, you know, Central could easily win that region, and I think that's how they've approached it. So I'm looking forward to maybe one of the better first-round games in the state.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it.
All right, 10:51, and when we come back, my SEC point spread predictions for this week, plus we will give you our qualifiers and our answer our trivia question and roll the roulette wheel for a winner in our Bama football trivia giveaway. So we'll come back and wrap up the show live from Innisfree Irish Pub right after this timeout.
New floors to go. Flooring so durable, even your in-laws won't ruin it. Visit New Floors to Go on Greensboro Avenue today, because life's messy, but your floor doesn't have to be.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans.
I'm game.
Your West Alabama High School football score updates are presented by Bevel State Community College, Congressman Robert Adderholt and Taco Casa.
Since 2011, Billy Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside.
Generators. True South Generators. Online at truesouthgenerators.com. That's truesouthgenerators.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Occasionally cloudy today, the chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight. The high today 75, the low tonight 59. Mild again tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds with only isolated showers around. The high at 76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 64 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The best place for your high school football coverage is right here on Tide 100.9 and online on Tide100.9.com.
All right, 10:55, winding it down, and we got a lot to do in this last couple of minutes. First of all, let me go ahead and give my point spread predictions for the SEC. For this year, I'm 45-37 after going 3-3 last week. I'll take that. I think that's pretty good. All right, Mississippi State's catching 9.5 at home against Georgia. I just think that's too many. I'm going to take Mississippi State plus the points in that one. I'm going to lay the 6.5 with A&M at Mizzou. I think Mizzou's quarterback situation's not ideal. It wouldn't surprise me if Auburn went up and won in Nashville, as crazy as that sounds. But I'm going to take Vanderbilt minus the 6.5. I think it's less than a touchdown. Vanderbilt gets it done. I'm taking Bama minus the 9.5. And I'm taking Kentucky, which Alabama gets to LSU, plus the 3.5 at home against Florida. I just think it's a field goal game, so I'll take the points. All right, our SEC, or our Bama football trivia question for the giveaway. Who scored the only touchdown in the 2012 BCS National Championship game in which Alabama won the 2011 championship 21-0? The answer is Trent Richardson. All right, guys, how many qualifiers did we have?
Gary, we had 23 qualifiers.
All right, 23 qualifiers. So let's go ahead and roll that electronic roulette wheel and find out on what number it comes up on. Go ahead and roll it. What's the number?
Number 9, and your winner is that? Gil.
All right, Gil, who is a regular listener, and Gil's won before, but he hasn't won this year. So he is, I've got Gil's information, but Gil wins our Greg Gamble full-size, the shutout print. Gil, we'll get that to you, and we appreciate you playing Bama football trivia, and we appreciate T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery and the University Mall for providing our gift every week. All right, that's going to wrap it up for Fridays at the Free for this week. Audio Bob just showed up to break us down and does a great job, and we will be back here next Friday. I'm going to get with Sneed about maybe playing this over the radio. Bob, they were asking about audio. I said, well, the problem is we're plugging the speaker. I can't do the show, but maybe we can figure out another way to get audio for everybody that showed up. All right, we got the Miller's Edge coming up next. A reminder, catch me on TV tonight with your local sports and for Football Friday from 10:30 to 11:30 on WVUA 23. And then I'll be live tomorrow night for the 10 o'clock sports, whether the game's over or not. I'm going to be live at the stadium with a live update tomorrow night. Hopefully the game will be over, and then I'll be back here Monday morning for the Gary Harris Show. For everybody here at Innisfree and back in the studio, thanks for listening to the Gary Harris Show. Have a great football weekend, and roll tide, everybody.